It's Wednesday morning. You know what that means. It's time for another episode of the Alabama Slam Podcast. I'm your host, Corey Hanna.
What's going on, guys? It's Patrick Akers.
And I'm Steve, and I ain't got funny today.
let's go ahead and jump into it. We've got, there's something crawling on my screen, on my phone, with my notes. Now that's out of the way, I think. Let's get into Dynamite from last week. We've got Dynamite. I don't think we've got anything. Did you have anything from Collision, Steven?
No.
Patrick and I didn't get a chance to watch it, but we've got a few things from Dynamite, and we'll run down the card for Dynasty. And let's start with the big thing from the weekend. We used to do this podcast regularly on Fridays, because when Patrick and I started, we were basically just talking about AEW, which at the time was just Dynamite. And then, you know, there were the pay-per-views and blah, blah, blah. And then we started watching more WWE again. And then it felt kind of weird for our pay-per-view discussions to come out on Friday. So we started putting the podcast out on Wednesday, blah, blah, blah. Well, now when we're talking about Dynamite, it's from almost a week ago. So everybody else has already run through the Punk footage from backstage, but we're going to talk about it a little bit. You've heard everyone else's opinions. You can listen to ours for a little bit.
Ours are better.
Yeah, probably.
That's true.
See if we can get Patrick worked up. I know he said he just killed an energy drink a few minutes ago on his way up here, so he might get spazzed out on us. But yeah, I mean, let's talk about it. You know, our thing last week was, this is either going to be the right call or it's going to be fucking stupid. And it seemed like, to me, they made the most of it. I think their intentions were, because Punk had been out basically talking shit all week, the week before leading up to Mania, about how he, quote unquote, barely choked Jack and he didn't instigate anything and blah, blah, blah. Well,
That footage didn't tell me anything different from that. I mean, that seemed accurate enough.
It showed me that he started it.
Nah, you don't know what that, you got no sound there.
It doesn't matter.
It does.
It doesn't matter what he said.
Oh, it does.
You don't put your hands on somebody at work.
But here's my biggest gripe about this. This would have been fine, what, 6-8 months ago? And I get why they're doing it now. This is all just a lead in for the Dynasty match and potential the Jack Perry stuff. I get that. But from the legitimate standpoint, they had that argument no further from me than I am to you from Tony Khan.
Yeah, I mean, listen.
Tony's got on headphones and is probably watching four different monitors.
It's in between matches.
Yeah, and it never should have. I think that's the thing that was kind of crazy to me about the footage, is that like there's people standing around watching. So, like, if we take CM Punk at face value, which at this point, he really didn't lie about. I mean, he kind of, there are even people that took his voiceover and put it straight over the footage.
Yep.
Nobody was going to get up and, like, hey, guys, why don't we, you know, later. Like, literally, there's a match that's about to go out. I do think, though, you know, had we recorded this podcast immediately after Dynamite on Wednesday, everything might have been more reactionary. Honestly, I don't think this is going to matter in the long run that they showed the footage.
Nah.
And if anything, based off the response that Jack Perry got Friday night in Chicago, they might actually have a backhanded, clever way of introducing this scapegoat character to an AEW audience. I mean, he comes out with the Cry Me a River jacket. I get that, you know,
shirt.
I get that Chicago and New Japan audience is probably the smarkiest of smarkiest crowds that you can assemble. But like to have it be kind of 50-50, people said it was even 60-40 in favor of Jack during that match Friday night in Chicago. I don't know. It's not necessarily a terrible thing. Would I have aired the footage? I don't think so. But I don't think it is. You had some people online being like, this is WCW 2000.
No, it was. I mean, it was too late to do it. If you were going to do it, you needed to do it a long time ago.
Yeah.
This was you hopping on a bus way too late and getting to somewhere that wasn't close to your destination.
Well, but I did like the fact that the Bucks were, A, they were wearing the scapegoat shirts underneath their jackets. But they were like, we were distracted by this thing that was going on. And then you get FTR coming out and then they were, quote unquote, not on the rundown sheet. I don't believe that, really. I thought it was an interesting way to, if they were going to show the footage, it was the most interesting way to do it.
Things I took away from it were, A, Tony should have stepped up in that game. That's one thing. Hook has no response to crisis management. If you watch that video, he's just standing there looking just...
Hook has probably seen worse fights in locker rooms. Sure. He grew up an athlete. There's dude like that. When we were on a football team, you just two dudes scrap and you let them go for a minute and then you try to
get him. He just looks confused. Meanwhile, Joe's over there, you know, just Johnny on the spot. I'll handle
this. I'm not trying to be a Tony apologist, but as a guy that has worked in a production truck for 3 or 4 years for ESPN stuff, you really don't have any idea what's happening outside of your headphones and the screens in front of you most of the time. I don't know. Maybe it did look like there was a little bit of a corner between Tony and them. I don't know. I haven't analyzed the footage that much, but it seemed like there was a little more of an angle. And like I said, Tony's looking at these monitors. He's got on headphones. He's got 14 different people talking in his ear. There's a lot happening.
Now, but here's the question. Is it a high school scuffle? Or is it a fight? Because the Bucks called it a high school scuffle.
I mean, it was by the time it got actually more in front of Tony, they were fighting. They were on the ground. But I'm just saying, like, when they were first arguing, I don't know that he had the best view. By the time they were fighting, yeah, he couldn't have missed them, right?
I think it was just it was – if this had been Punk's first backstage outburst, I don't think it would have been an issue.
Sure.
The problem was it was the second. And I think, honestly, Punk at that point was trying to get fired.
Oh, wouldn't surprise me in the least.
I think that's what he was trying to do.
Well, he made it pretty clear.
I think he said in the original interview, he had asked for his release. They said no. They weren't going to let him go. So I think he had checked out at that stage.
Yeah. But.
Fuck you, pay me.
We'll see what Jack Perry can do with this, because if he can come into AEW and if this scapegoat character can catch on, at least you've made something out of it. Now, this is the biggest opportunity Jack Perry has in his young career. This is the scapegoat character is something he can kind of latch on to that can kind of elevate him if he decides to go on that route. And listen, I don't know if you guys saw the entrance, but I thought the entrance Friday night was just chef's kiss. Just the riot gear squad, the people, and then people holding punk up signs flag. Like the punk, the Chicago flag. People that were like, somebody held up a sign and said like Jungle Boy did nothing wrong. Like you have an opportunity now. What he doesn't need to do when he comes back in AEW, I don't think he needs to mention Tony Khan by name. I think he just needs to say you. An omnipotent sort of you're the one because you can't handle your business. You want to try to blame me. I don't think we need to see Tony. Tony Khan does not need to be brought into this. He damn sure doesn't need to be an on-screen character.
No.
But Jack Perry aligning with the Young Bucks with an Okada, that's a pretty good heel faction. I would expect Jack Perry to show up Friday or Sunday night.
It's probably the best case scenario for him as a new character, right? Because he obviously was ditching the Jungle Boy thing before he left. He had that whole vignette about burying his shit in the middle of the desert or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And then he wasn't working as a heel then, but I think that this has happened. It's probably the best for him in terms of like you said, just putting him in a thing where he doesn't have to be the star.
And I do think it is kind of crazy. He legitimately got suspended for that footage.
Did he?
Well, I don't know.
I mean, he's been gone a hot minute.
Yeah, he's been gone for a hot minute.
Well, and they also said
they sent him there, and he's doing stuff to try to get a character over at this stage.
That too, but Punk mentioned in the thing that at Wembley, when the person came up to him and was trying to basically insinuate he needs to leave, they said Jack had already been escorted out of the building, which I find kind of crazy if that's true, because all he really did was like tussle his hair, and then boom, he gets shoved, and then he gets front guillotined, and Anyway, whatever. The reactionary stuff, people think this is the worst thing ever. This is
the, I don't think the it's the worst nail. Thing ever. I just don't think. Looking at it, this they did this to pop a rating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think this I don't think this accomplished that.
But people who are saying this is WCW 2000-esque, every time somebody says that, you just proved to me you never watched WCW in 2000. Because this is not Russo and Bischoff making their return and vacating every single title. Nah. And Vince Russo saying that Goldberg won't follow the script. This is none of that stuff.
This was...
Relax, everybody.
This was WWE circa 4 or 5 years ago where they're just moving slow on capitalizing on stuff.
Yeah.
I think that, like I said, they did this to attract a rating. I think they showed the built, I think the show they built around this was not the one to have built around this if you're trying to attract an audience.
And I think that's the biggest cardinal sin is that you were going to air this footage and there was nothing about the show last Wednesday that made anybody more excited about buying the pay-per-view.
Not a one. I mean, you had FTR come out and the dude's wearing a Bart Simpson shirt from the late 80s, dropping Ned Flanders and Rod and Todd Flanders lines. It's like, dude, you are right. You, this is peak of what this is.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't the greatest show. We talked last week about how, you know, they basically said at the last minute they were going to be airing this footage and they had already built a show. And oh, Steven, you said they should have said, fuck it.
Card subject to change.
We're putting bangers on, and you know, but they didn't do that.
So you had this. You had those two promos, the FTR and the Young Bucks. You come into the Bryan Danielson promo, which was, you know, that was a great piece of video showing, you know, the heart of Daniel Bryan and of why he's, you know, doing what he's doing. I thought that was great. And then that led us into the second big promo.
Yeah. Ospreay responding to Triple H's comments about the grind. Ospreay comes in, is kind of cheeky for a minute, right? And then he's like, fuck it, I'm going in on Triple H.
It was. So here's the thing. Should he have responded?
Yes.
Yes, 100%. Is making a joke that everyone made 25 years ago on Triple H about marrying having sex with the boss's daughter, the joke to make?
It's on par with the rest of the show.
No. What Ospreay's promo should have been was he should have come out. I think he starts the exact same way. Apparently, I'm afraid of the grind. And he should have referenced the fact that on the biggest week that the WWE has, the guy in charge can't help but take shots at me. Because I'm the one that everyone's talking about. I'm the guy that half your roster's stealing moves from. I'm the dude that you're paying attention to. So keep watching the screen. And I would say throw some kind of line and be like, have fun doing your soap operas. You're really good at it.
Yeah.
This is the place where the best wrestle. Keep watching me elevate this division. That's what the promo should be.
Get out. Asterisk right there, though. This is the place where the best wrestle. Asterisk.
In
just,
ring.
Just not tonight.
Well, in ring.
Steven.
In ring, it is the best
just
place.
Not, and that's I'm 100% on board. I think he's a great wrestler. I think, you know, if given the opportunity to cut the deal that he cut, I'd cut the same deal, too. I get what he's saying. I also get the fact that The Rock and Roman Reigns, he's wrestled two more matches in them since he's come to AEW.
Well, he ain't been there, but
he's only been there a month. The Rock and Roman Reigns have both wrestled two less matches than him since he came to AEW. In that same time period, Jade Cargill has wrestled one less match than him.
What point are you trying to make?
He ain't wrestling. That is the exact.
He wrestled like every week the first 3 weeks he was on
there.
No,
he did not. He has wrestled 4 times total. Total.
Your point seems invalid. Everything I saw, we'll get to Rhea Ripley in a minute.
Sami Zayn, in the same time period that Will Ospreay has been in AEW, Sami Zayn has wrestled 16 times. Cody Rhodes has wrestled 13 times. The grind comment is an accurate statement. He ain't there for those house shows. While he may be doing the work of flying back and forth, that's cool. That's what he wanted. That's what he got. But at the same time, He ain't grinding like he ain't putting on those matches on a daily basis on a weekly basis.
Does
a house
show count for fucking anything if you're not there?
But they do when that's part. They do when that's part. That's part of your job.
If you're not at the house show, they don't fucking count.
When it's when you are when that is part of what they are signing you to do, that is part of the grind. That is the grind.
You're a fucking idiot if you want to go do that 4 days a week.
But I think
that's the grind.
Sure. But at some point, you do have, like, if WWE wanted him that bad, they should have threw the bag at him.
Oh, yeah. Well, I am not arguing one at all that they shouldn't have put more money into it and worked with him to kind of get the deal that didn't involve him leaving his family, like he, you know, and giving him what he wanted. I have no issue with that. But at the same time, if you're going to talk about how you're the best wrestler and, you know, I grind this and you were grinding that doing your 25-year-old joke. When you aren't doing the weekly show and even putting on a match on a weekly basis, yeah, you're not doing the grind.
I revoke what I said about you're a fucking idiot if you want to do that 4 days a week. It makes sense if you're on the indie circuit and that's how you're making your living and so on and so forth, but...
That's what WWE does, is they do these small house shows for those places that can't get the huge events live. And it, you know, there are some people, not everybody on that card does that, obviously. I mean, Roman Reigns ain't doing house shows. Seth Rollins ain't doing all those house shows. Cody is doing a lot of those house shows. Sami Zayn does damn near every one of those house shows. So there are people there that go out there to be those stars that are your workhorses of those that are doing the things that he doesn't want to do. And that's fine. I don't fault him for not wanting to do that. I wouldn't want to do that. That's a lot of bumps.
Yeah, but also, like, so he's wrestled. So whatever, how many ever times he's wrestled?
Four.
Takeshita was probably going to end up match of the year.
And I'm not arguing that the way I look at it is Christian McCaffrey is one of the best running backs of all time. When he was in Carolina, he was one of the best running backs of all time. But he only played in roughly 50% of the games, which means that he was only, you know, the best running back ever 50% of the time. If you're not there doing it, it doesn't matter if you're the best ever.
I think I would rather take quality over how show matches. The grind comment to me just came so far out of left field.
It also doesn't make sense to just put him in a random match on TV this week when he's got Bryan Danielson coming up at the pay-per-view this weekend. Like last night, Jey Uso has the next shot at Drew, right? Well, they put him in a random fucking match with Finn Balor last night. What's the point of that? Nobody needed to see that.
Well, and back to, and I guess back to Ospreay's promo. That's sort of that is the sort of the epitome of AEW creative, is that they kind of had the right idea, but they it was a swing and a miss. Right. It's the wrong way to go about it, like grinding with a boss's daughter. Nobody cares about that. Nope. You're trying to get over this thing where the best wrestle, and so I think hammering on the fact that I am a guy. Your top star does two of my moves, and he does them terribly because Cody Rhodes, we talked about missing the cutter on Roman Reigns. They just had a new dude debut in NXT who's also doing a springboard cutter like Ospreay. Like, I think hammering on the fact that, yeah, I might not be in your company, but yet I'm still the dude that everyone's talking about, and I'm the dude that's influencing, and I'm the dude that's been tearing it down on the other side of the world. That would have been a better promo.
But when you're telling me you're the best wrestling and this is the show you put on, and this ain't the first time this show they've put on these shows, so you get one good match generally.
Yeah, but this pay-per-view Sunday is probably going to fucking slap. And this shit's probably about to be wild.
If you're not... WWE has an advantage in that sense. They have, for $5.99... you get to watch their pay-per-views, their premium live events, which means that they don't really have to sell those hard.
No.
For $50 a pop, you can watch AEW events, which means you have all that lead up time between events to sell these events hard to make me want to. And this ain't.
They haven't done a good job on the lead up. I'll give you that. I don't want to argue it. It's wasted breath, but last week's show was not very good. And we can harp on that if we wanted to, but nobody really wants to hear it. I say let's move on, unless we got anything else about Ospreay or the Bucks.
Nah.
No, it's just that he went in early. Ospreay did to workshop that promo. That yeah. Somebody let him down.
Somebody let him down, yeah. And I guess, I mean, real quick, did you see that his interview with RJ City where he said he's like severely dyslexic and he can't read and stuff?
Oh, I did see that, yeah.
So he has to
and
work
autistic like, and something else.
Yeah. Like on his promos. I thought that was interesting.
I just want to know, like, if you're who in AEW thought it was a good idea for him to say that joke in light of everything?
He had 5 minutes. I think he just went. I don't think there's anybody in the back that lets them that has a. You probably shouldn't.
Yeah,
I don't think you should.
There's filter. A lot of yes men around. The thing is like it maybe wouldn't have seemed. Two, well, it would have, but the fact that they did this and they showed the footage. I don't think they would have shown the footage had Punk not run his mouth all last week, right?
Oh, sure, yeah. They felt the need to respond.
Yeah,
and what's even more funny about this is he's making that comment, and that's the kind of comment you make when somebody's not doing their job good. They're not qualified to do their job.
That's the other thing is that you're literally making this comment after the biggest WrestleMania of all time. That's kind of at least night two is sort of universally
that
loved.
That just saw the highest rating Raw has popped in years. Who just saw the highest rating that SmackDown has popped in years. That is selling out house shows left and right.
It's just it's disappointing because it is at least to me. The Ospreay promo was it's on a T.
Yeah.
Just talk about how good you are and the fact that Triple H is making it. Triple H is mad because he's the ex that you left, right? He's the girl that you left at the altar and went with the other thing. And instead he makes the comment. And I just think whoever is creatively, whether that is Tony Khan solely or whether that's Jim Peppermint or whoever these people have come in.
I think it's everybody's on their own and they're allowed to do whatever they want to whenever they want to.
Well, like we always say. A writer's room wouldn't hurt.
Yeah, that's been one of the motifs running through this podcast since we started. Did y'all catch Jericho stealing the Richard Holiday?
Yeah.
Rarefied
He's been air? Doing that. They've been doing that a little bit for a while now.
Oh, have they?
Yeah. Because I thought, I was like, okay, are they getting ready to bring him in there or what? But no, they're just taking his stuff.
Just stealing it.
I mean, it's Jericho. What can you say at this point? Yeah.
Maybe he's giving them permission. I mean, he was partnered up with MJF for a while, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Needs to come back. This show's hurting. This show needs him back desperately.
Yeah. They can't all be cowboys, but man, it's been a not great run the last few weeks.
Would you just think it would be better because they're probably leading up to crown their first ever African American world champion. And it's just like all of these things are kind of in place. And it's sort of staggering that like we can't string together good shows consistently.
The loudest pop of the night came during a picture in the picture segment when they weren't even on air where you could hear it.
Oh, I didn't see where was that.
That was probably during the Penta match.
Oh, and that's the thing. Like the Edge and the Penta was a good opening, but nobody even talked about that.
Yeah, that was in that one. Crowd loudest during the picture-in-picture. So they went off. You got whatever. Well, I can't think of the dude who's the manager down there for Penta.
Abraham, yeah, Alex.
He's down there.
The hype man.
He's hyping up the match. He ain't hyping up Penta. He's hyping up the crowd, getting them to chant for Edge, which is confusing to me. They're in a picture-in-picture, and the crowd is going wild, and he's just trying to cheer them. He's just trying to get them. And then when they come back, the crowd is exhausted, and they're dead quiet again.
Do you have Mariah May on your notes?
I don't.
That woman, she has my wrestling heart, and I don't know who will take it away
when
at this point.
When they did the kiss, I was like, Patrick's going to pop for that.
What do you want me to do, man? What do you mean? From a red-blooded American man, there's two attractive women. What do you want me to do? You mean not respond?
What was that last, we used to say, the defensive back? They were playing Tom Brady. Couple of years ago, and he was running after him, and he let up, and he's like, "That's Tom Brady, man. What am I supposed to do?
Yeah, I just think Mariah May has she's got all the tools, I'm glad, whatever. I might be her only fan in this podcast. I don't care. I think she's doing amazing work. Let's keep it up. I like the other Stardom girl too. I don't know, remember her name, but until Jamie Hayter comes back, and then there will be a, there'll be a civil war within my heart. Yeah. Yeah, there will be.
I want to talk about this Edge match, because this one was one of those matches where it's, they get, it was a great match, but you're wasting so much, so many moves in this match that don't need to be. I mean, you had Penta do a Canadian Destroyer off a turnbuckle for like a 1.5-2 count. Why are you doing these amazing things and just wasting them for so little?
So the lineups weren't great, and you're saying they should just go out and put on boo-boo matches?
No, it's not. I'm not even saying that they should put on boo-boo matches, but if this match went about 20 minutes, you carve that down to 15 and get rid of some of this extra stuff, you still would have an amazing match. But this was the only match that meant, that had anything on it. I mean, you had Dustin versus Joe, which, you know, Swerve putting Joe through the table, the crowd is dead. I mean, they aren't cheering, they ain't booing, they're just, we're here.
I don't think they could see it.
Maybe, but you know.
I don't
know.
Think they could have seen it because it was down in the...
Mm-hmm. Then you give him Dustin Rhodes, who he can't even beat clean. That is your bookmark, that is your bookend segments. That's what you opened with. That's what you closed with. And that's just ridiculous. Meanwhile, you got Edge. The Edge match was fine. Then you have the after part where you got Julia Hart and Brody come out there. And I guess they hired Kevin Dunn because the camera work on that sucked. Because
what the fuck was up with the camera work last week?
They're trying some things and it production wise, and it ain't working.
Because they were zooming around in that one. They zoomed around in the fucking Mercedes Monet.
When they zoomed in, they cut out Brody. So all you get is Edge lurching forward. You don't even see why it's happening. And they're like, oh, okay. Brody just stumbles into the screen.
The backstage thing felt awkward too, because it felt like Edge was trying to talk about something that they didn't prep Briscoe for, because he looked like he was like, what's going on?
Let's get to that, though. Hold on. So Brody kicks his ass. Who comes out to save him? Willow. Fine. Whatever. Cut to, I guess Kingston and Briscoe aren't there. Oh, no. Let's go cut to the back. Who's standing in the back? Oh, there's Briscoe and Kingston. Hey, guys, where were you? That doesn't matter. I didn't need your help. I've got her. Yeah. Bullshit. You are in a match going up on a pay-per-view against these people that just jumped your boy, and you're in the back circle jerking each other.
It was weird and awkward and disjointed. I have zero arguments.
Yeah, I mean, this is at this point, it, you know, I think I said last week on the podcast, I love AEW in spite of all its faults. I can fully recognize its faults, but like, come Sunday, there's no other wrestling company that I can see Ospreay and Danielson tear it up for probably what's going to be like 35 minutes.
But I mean, that's
good enough
goofy.
For me. But it's goofy. No, and it's, but, and part of it is that there's like simple things, right? Like someone's pitching like, oh, okay, well, Brody and Julia come out and Brody beats down Edge. And you go, okay, well then, where we have to explain why Mark Briscoe and Eddie Kingston are not coming out.
They were just glad handing each other. You know.
But a lot of this is probably, I think,
waiting on an interview.
I think just because Tony Khan's probably calling all the shots, and this is the kind of shit that slips through the cracks when you have 97 other responsibilities. Is that the little minute details like that?
Willow to Edge, we should have a match together. Nah, that's a bad idea, says Copeland. We should have a match together. That's literally what she just pitched to you.
Yeah, I didn't know. I guess that was supposed to be a joke, and I didn't. That didn't come.
It didn't.
Through.
I mean, there was a lot of that. This week had a bunch of different, I guess, comedy segments that didn't sail. And I'm not just talking about AEW.
And Mercedes Moné, I guess, had an orgasm on the floor.
I had to explain. My wife came in, and she walked in right during that scene, and she gave me the look. And I'm like, it's not porn. She just sucks at acting.
Why is she not wrestling? Whose call is this? Whose decision?
Don't know.
It's for the best wrestle, man.
She Double or Nothing is May 20-something? We're going to wait another month to see. This is She's never.
Sasha Banks not even wrestling Dynasty.
No.
Oh shit!
She's wrestling for the TBS title at Double or
Nothing. Be her first match, probably.
Okay, well that's fucking weird.
It's like you can tell me this is where the best wrestle on a regular basis. Daniel Bryan doesn't wrestle there on a regular basis.
What the fuck are you talking about?
He wrestles
about?
On Collision. We just don't talk about Collision.
Yeah. He, okay.
He wrestled.
But the fact that the AEW's biggest downfall with their talent is the fact that they pimp their talent out to so many different organizations that you don't have a consistent roster there on a regular basis because they're in New Japan, they're in wherever doing something else.
That's a valid point. We didn't even mention the fact that John Moxley's the new IWGP champion. But again, I'll put up with a shitty show for 5 weeks because Sunday I think they're going to knock it out of the park.
Yeah, well, let's just run this down real quick because we're already at the half hour mark. Samoa Joe versus Swerve. Thinks it's Swerve's time, right?
Yeah, and that match is going to be, I bet, bonkers. Crazy.
I mean, yeah, at this point, they've sunk Samoa Joe so hard, you got to give it off.
Tony Storm versus Thunder Rosa.
Please put it on Thunder Rosa so I can stop doing the Tony Storm stuff.
No, they ain't gonna do that. It'll be old timeless Tony.
Young Bucks versus FTR in a ladder match. I don't think I realized this was a ladder match.
They announced that on Collision. That's a ladder match. I think probably so that returning Jack Perry can help the Young Bucks.
Yeah, I don't think there's a way in hell Young Bucks don't walk away with. No,
he's coming back for sure.
I said that for the Sting match. But I have such a low opinion of the Young Bucks worth of their own selves that any match they're in a title match, I assume they're going to win.
People are hating on them, but at least the character they're doing is good. If they were politicking and the characters they were doing were shit, that would be one thing. But I do enjoy the
new
heel
theme song,
stick.
The dressing. I think it's
the succession. Yeah. It's working. I like it.
Yeah.
Now, let's not have Okada wrestle jobbers, which we didn't even talk about.
No, I mean, that's how forgettable that he didn't even care about that match.
So let's protect that guy a little bit.
We also didn't talk about the shitty Jericho lion hook.
Well, that's, at this point, it's like Jericho to me is on the same.
Yeah, why are we wasting breath on that?
He's on the same level as the Nia Jax. I've just accepted that that's where the fast forward button comes out when they come on.
Julia Hart versus Willow for the TBS championship.
That will probably be Willow.
Yeah, but this is the one that I'm least interested in of this card.
Yeah, okay. I think it's mostly just because they hadn't really done anything with Julia Hart that much.
Okada versus Pac for the Continental Championship.
That thing's gonna fucking slap.
It will. I'm just hoping that Pac does not injure himself because that tends to be his MO.
Also, yeah. Pac is the only character I think in the history of wrestling that always wears his gear, no matter where he is.
That's how he flies on a plane. He doesn't even wear a shirt.
It's like he comes out to do a promo. He's in the gear.
As my wife calls him.
He's in the backstage thing. He's in his gear. Like, no shirt, nothing. I mean,
hair's just always wet, yep. Ready to go.
Yeah. Yep.
It's a glandular thing.
I mean, if I look like that, I wouldn't wear a shirt either, but I'm just saying it's a little.
He used to be one of my favorites, but because he's just been gone for so long and anytime you see him on TV, it looks like he's almost going to succeed. And then,
well, they're probably going to wrestle at 1,000 miles an hour. Sunday,
good on so. It. I'll enjoy it while it's there.
Yeah.
Roderick Strong versus Kyle O'Reilly.
Yep.
International championship.
I think this one might change. I think Kyle might take the, they might put the title on him because it's not like the, that organization is doing anything at this stage. I mean, you don't even have Adam Cole on TV anymore.
Yeah, and Wardlow's gone as well. It's basically Undisputed Kingdom now. It's just literally Roderick Strong and Taven and Bennett.
They are an anchor around his neck.
Yeah.
Danielson versus Ospreay.
Should be fun.
This whole card could be Danielson, Ospreay, and that's it. And they tell me they're going to go for 2 hours, I'd pay $50.
It'd be a different kind of match for Ospreay, right? Kind of like
I think they'll slow it down a little bit, but
I think that it'll probably be a little bit slower.
This is the one I'm looking forward to the most, but this is the one I'm fearing the most just because of the history that Brian has. We don't even talk about this because it was just not even on our radar. But Mick Foley was going to come back and have us another match. Dude had to say no because had concussions. He didn't even know he had concussions. So you were going to have Brian Danielson in a match with a dude that is going to push him to 1,000 miles an hour. So this is the one I'm like, is this the one that is going to make it so that you no longer have Brian Danielson?
That would be, if that happens, which God, I hope not, that would be a hell of a calling card for Will Ospreay's character going forward. It's being like, nobody can keep up with me. Dudes wrestle me and then they're done.
Yep.
I take people out. But I think this match is going to be another match of the year contender for Ospreay.
The last one listed is Cope and Briscoe and Kingston versus House of Black for something that's kind of just a random put together match. Granted, they've had the House of Black versus the Briscoe thing happening and, you know, Copeland and Kingston as well. This could be fun. Is it just not a throwaway? I mean, maybe
it is a very much a throwaway match.
Yeah, sure.
Somebody's got to take the Darby Allin spot of this is the palate cleanser where we jump off the balcony railing. Now that Sting is gone and Darby's gone, this is the part in the pay-per-view where they go to these guys.
But I care more about this one than I do the Willow and the Hart one, and that's the other palate cleanser.
I think Danielson Ospreay should start it.
Y'all got any final AEW thoughts? Anything that you think we get any surprises other than Jungle Boy Jack Perry coming back? I saw the meme yesterday of what's her name? Phoebe from Friends on one side, and it says Jungle. And it's JR on the other side, and it says Jungle. And she says, Boy.
Oh, yeah.
And he says, Boy. And she says, Jungle Boy. And then JR says, Jungle Boy Jack Perry.
Yeah. At least he had enough sense to be like, the kid can't be Jungle Boy and get over as a serious thing. And now I think the Jungle Boy thing, it's not even in New Japan. He's literally just scapegoat Jack Perry.
Yep.
So,
well, let's move to SmackDown. I want to start off with a heater from Cody Rhodes. One of his lines was he borrowed from Omar from The Wire. He says, if you come at the king, you best not miss.
Well, that wasn't the best line he borrowed. The best line he borrowed was from his wife, who told you it was open mic night, bitch, which is a classic wrestling line.
I had forgotten about that, and then I saw I saw that clip from AEW versus him saying it. And
So we get the hint, the continuation of that on the what's in his palm. We don't still get a clear answer, but they build that story a little bit more. I enjoyed it. It was a heater.
I'm guessing now it's the watch that he talked about.
Nah, because he gave to The Rock previously that The Rock is now giving back to him. So I don't think it's the watch.
I think that's what he's referring to, because he said a wartime overture or something like that. And he when Cody was on Ariel Helwani's show, he talked about he bought Rolexes, four Rolexes. That he gave.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for him, Seth, and he wouldn't mention the other two, and people were speculating because Roman had a Rolex on at the Hall of Fame that Cody bought Rolexes for all four of the guys in the Night One main event.
I thought you were talking about the daddy watch.
No. I think it's the literal watch that he was talking about that Cody gifted and he gave him back. They probably won't explain that. That's probably the gist of what they're in.
And that's fine. It doesn't need to be much more.
No, it's like a J.J. Abrams mystery box, right? It's just fucking, here's something and you'll never figure out what the fuck it is. So.
But that wasn't even the most exciting thing that happened on this thing.
On SmackDown?
Yeah.
So I get a text from Steven that says, winning and losing matters. And I was like... Is that the one where I sent the baby Billy gif where it says, go outside, nerd?
Yes. Yes.
Yes, it was. Because I hadn't seen the show yet. When I saw the show, winning and losing matters.
You thought I was just taking shots at AEW. Yeah. I don't always take shots at AEW.
Bloodline doesn't have the main dressing room anymore, right? Solo and Jimmy are going to the dressing room, and it's got Cody's name on it.
Paul is such a good exposition dumper, and he does it with emotion. This, we no longer have that, boys. That's the cost.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was something.
But that's not even that. I mean, that leads into Solo tossing those words into Paul Heyman's face. When he goes out into the ring, when you know, Paul's out there explaining the accountability, we accept our loss. You know, Cody should have accounted for Solo in the first match. You know, Cody was smart, wised up, knew that Seth was that one piece of business. He gives out the lays out the Seth is his shield. You know, that just lays it down. So explains the story for those who weren't able to understand the story, which is great because, you know, some people in the audience don't get it because you got kids, you got old people, you got people that don't watch all the time. So you get that. But they're talking about, you know, starts to go into but Roman Reigns is going to rise like a phoenix. And Solo steps up and looks him dead in the eye and says, winning and losing matters. It has consequences. And that's when he goes over and you think he's going to beat down Jay, but he hugs him. He hugs him, gives him some love. You're my brother. I love you. Walks away. You get the debut of Tama Tonga, who comes up behind him, beats the shit out of Jimmy. You know, does his thing. Solo spikes him 4 or 5 times. Paul Heyman goes to call Roman. Solo stops him, stomps that phone.
So we're just supposed to believe that Roman takes an L, and now all of a sudden Solo has decided he's the tribal chief?
Winning and losing matters.
Or is he referring to The Rock as the tribal chief?
And Paul doesn't know either. That's the thing. Nope, you don't know if Solo taking over, doing a hostile takeover. Did Roman order Jimmy to get beat up? Did The Rock decide that? They beat the shit out of Jimmy to the point where they put his head in a chair and butt slapped him into the turnbuckle. And Paul says he ain't all right.
I have talked about Solo Sikoa on this podcast. I don't think this is going to work. This is maybe my hot take. I don't think Solo is the type of guy who is going to be able to come off convincingly and what I guess is going to now be the Bloodline Wolfpack or whatever, the offshoot, which it's not a bad story because I do think what they are setting up is the fact that Solo is now taking orders from The Rock and that they will turn Roman babyface and Roman will actually be the one that takes down all the Bloodline.
And that could be fine. I'm there for that story.
I'm not mad at that either. Speculation that like Roman, Jimmy, Jay, and Sammy could end up in War Games. Is it War Games versus The Rock, Solo, Tama, and I guess Jacob Fatu when they bring him in.
Yeah.
Right. Well, but you know, you also got to figure Haku has a second kid who's about 6'8".
I'm just saying, like, the Tama Tonga debut, it is what it is. The guys, he's good. But when Solo Sikoa is, like, eye-to-eye with Paul Heyman to convince me he is, like, a legit badass,
Not an imposing figure. He has to be more sadistic in order to step up. And I think we're going to get more pieces of that. And you kind of get that because he's, you know, when he spikes people, it's not just a spike and I'm done. I mean, he crippled John Cena.
He needs like 45 pounds. That's what he's like. I think that there is legit just a physicality that's missing to him.
And when you bring in Jacob Fatu, he's going to be bigger than him and does more impressive things.
That's the right next thing I was going to say. When you bring in Fatu and you put him next to Solo and you ask me, who do you think is the crazy motherfucker that can beat somebody's ass?
Damn straight, small werewolf every day.
I do want to fast forward to Monday Night Raw just a little bit. When they asked Jay about it, he was like, we don't even know who this dude is.
Yeah, what? Yeah,
that was funny. Talking about Tom. I was like, well,
yeah. And you had mentioned, I think, a couple podcasts ago, the Okada, the Tama Tonga, the dude they brought in. Like Tama Tonga is a fine worker. He has
an appearance.
He's got an appearance. He looks like he's gotten in a way better shape since he left New Japan. But like, he ain't a world beater. Nah. So like, he's just another guy. So I don't know. They are clearly taking a Chance on Solo, and WWE management sees something that I guess at this point I'm not seeing.
I see more in him than I do Hook, though. If that.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, Hook is.
I think Tama, and see, that's the joy of the Bloodline storyline, is it has generated a lot of character-driven stars. I mean, it put Sammy back into a position of relevance. I mean, we got him out of that Che Guevara conspiracy movie thing and got him into be a legitimate main eventer potentially. Jay has become a legitimate main eventer. Jimmy is still struggling. Roman was up there. Cody is up there now. I think Solo has a potential to step up. And I think there's a chance. We'll have to see how he plays out. I think WWE has a way of giving effort and time to make people care and puts people into positions where they can succeed if they are willing to put in the effort to get there.
Let's take a time out real quick. And did we laugh about Hook saying that he may want to explore other options when his AEW contract is up? Did we laugh about that last week?
Nah. Oh, I don't know. Good for him. I would much rather see him in NXT when I don't watch.
Okay,
see him
that's what I was going to say. Like, do you? Well, we don't have to spend any time really on this. It just poses the interesting question: is do you think that somebody like NXT could take him and develop him into something else?
He needs a personality, is what he needs right now. He needs a personality. NXT, WWE is the place you go to develop personality.
Yeah, but I don't know if he has one. Lexus King at least had some. Brian Pillman Jr. had something. He just couldn't foster it in AEW.
And he's not fostering it in NXT either.
It's at least more than probably what I think Hook is capable of. But
I just thought I laughed a little when it was like, I might want to explore other options. I was like,
I encourage you to.
Sure.
Get off our Wednesday night show.
Again, that's not even that. Just get the money you can and go where you need to, man.
That too. But like, there is a physicality.
Sure.
Like that's missing. A lot of these guys just need weight. They need some of that special creatine.
I'll send you the article AJ posted on how he got so cut.
Yeah, it's called TRT.
So other things of interest from the night that I had notes on was LA Knight gets the win over Lashley and Escobar.
Yep.
Then KO asking the camera guy to follow him to the ring, I thought was funny.
Oh, what makes it even better is he walks by the merchandise booth, grabs the what was it? Was it the Bengals?
The Detroit Tigers baseball team.
Yeah. Well, grabs that belt because he likes Tigers.
Yeah.
Knocks the CM Punk shirt off the table. And keeps on going.
So then Styles gets the win over KO and Ray, and he'll face LA Knight again. And I just have next week, so I guess that's Friday night.
I'm guessing AJ goes over, honestly, here.
Yeah, I would like to point out that it is kind of odd to have one of the main story beats of a show be like winning and losing matters, and then you have a guy who lost at WrestleMania be in
number one contender,
being a number one contender, at least a match to like win it.
Well, I mean that whole,
but at this point, that's just a body problem, because who, if it wasn't AJ Styles, who else you gonna put in the match?
I mean, you had that multiple people that didn't win in that match,
right? That's what I'm saying. That's
because KO didn't win.
Yeah, so maybe.
But this is again, that's a body problem, like you were saying. But this is also the start of one of WWE's weaknesses as well, is the triple threat matches are their go-to title contender methods at this.
Oh,
we
yeah.
got two this one. We got one on Monday. I'm assuming we're going to get another one for the women's title.
Why can't they just do like an 8-man elimination thing? That would make more sense to me.
I mean, SmackDown,
it would be more fun. I think
it would be more entertaining. I don't mind having three-way matches every so often, but when that is when you your last three shows, that's what you have done.
I don't think they want to necessarily go full tilt on tournaments, because the other show, all they do is tournaments.
Sure.
Every 2 months, there's a damn tournament.
But I mean, it doesn't have to be quote unquote a tournament. It could just be like, here's a series of I don't know. It's essentially a tournament.
But you can't keep repeating the same thing over and over again. That was your downfall in the previous regime.
So we will see how this one is going to be different.
But those two matches they were decent for what they were.
Oh, I mean, especially the AJ Styles. I mean, at the end, I mean, every once in a while, he gets to remind people he's one of the five greatest in-ring wrestlers of all time. So,
and like I said, I don't think they're ready to pull the trigger on LA Knight as a champion, especially over Cody Rhodes. So you need it to be the bad guys to win. So I ain't going to complain about a Bullet Club versus each other match.
Do we think Cody's going to hold the title for a long time? Do you think that this new regime is going to do that?
Yes. I think he'll hold it for a while just because he is the reception he is getting right now is what they're wanting.
I think he gets it for at least a year, probably.
The only reason I'm bringing it up is because we're about to transition to Monday Night Raw. It'd be very easy for them to just narratively explain why Rhea Ripley can't go every single week. An immediate word of her injury breaks out and they're like, she got to vacate the title.
I think there's a secondary reason for that, though.
What's the other reason?
When she comes back and is able to wrestle again, she's going to get a babyface reaction.
Oh, yeah.
So this is a way to...
She's getting a babyface reaction now, though.
She is, but it'll be a... She is not going to... I mean, it is not going to carry that same weight of the storyline that they're telling. I think this is a great way for them to reset her character, to put her into a new position. I think that's the whole... I don't think they could have... They could have left the title on her 100%, but I think this is going to be their way to reset and allow a bad guy to still do some bad guy stories with that title for a little bit.
So is the time away the factor? Because I was trying to explain to Jamie last night, because I texted you guys. I was like, I'm reading this rumor. It's like, I don't know if I should mention it to my wife because she may stop watching wrestling if Ripley is indeed injured. And then, of course, she's the first person to come out last night, right?
Yep.
And she looked bummed and she's holding the title and you knew then what was happening. I thought that maybe they'll pull a swerve like they did that with Hangman when Hangman was in Huntsville.
Well, heck, they did the same thing with what's his name? Seth. When he had his leg issue.
Yeah. Okay.
I think maybe she's going to be out for longer than they are.
Longer than what they wanted.
What they're wanting.
Because Seth didn't wrestle for a few weeks.
He was still there.
He was on TV.
But I think they are legitimately trying to heat up their women's division.
Okay.
I think if you look at what they did on Monday night.
Well, the other thing I read this today, was that she really is not even supposed to move it for like 3 weeks or whatever, right? So she can't get out there and at least halfway pretend to...
You can't have a revenge tour with nobody getting revenge on her.
Right.
And I think this was a good way to get her.
So do they put the title on Liv?
I'm assuming Liv wins. I don't know who else is going to be in that match.
Rhea beats the fuck out of her when she comes back in 3 months?
Maybe.
Right?
Yeah. But, and I mean, Rhea's injury would explain why they didn't go with Liv Morgan attacking her from behind and laying her out.
Well, she got the injury during that attack.
Yeah. But I'm saying,
chair.
No.
I'm saying Monday night. Her injury now explains why on this past Raw. Because if she was just vacating the title for like, you know, she got pregnant, was going away, they would just have Liv beat the shit out of her and leave her laying. Like, that explains why she didn't.
Mm-hmm.
They did the security guards come out and hold them back and all that kind of stuff. But it just made me think, like, oh, if they're vacating the title, I wonder if this new regime... Like, I don't think if Triple H was calling the shots completely from the start of Roman Reigns, I don't think he's holding that title for 3 years.
Probably not.
So, I don't know if they see it as
Roman has always been an events product to me.
Yeah. So, like, this was a forecast of things to come for title holders.
But I also think this is a good way to make her come back to that babyface pop, because when you come back from the injury, whether you're a good guy or a bad guy, you generally get that honeymoon period.
Now we'll see what Judgment Day is going to do.
Damian's got to step up.
He tried last night. He tried to. You could tell he was trying to be a little more in charge, right? And telling each of them they've got to go do this, they got to go do that. I did laugh a little when Rhea's on her way out. She stops by. They all give her a hug, and she's like, "You guys hold it down until I'm back," or whatever. And she's kind of walking off, and Dom goes, "We love you, mommy." And she doesn't even look back. She just goes, "I know." So fucking baller.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it sucks like to have her gone after what has she been, just over a year?
A little bit over a year. She won it at WrestleMania, right?
Yeah. That's a bummer. But yeah, I think she'll come back babyface. Do you think like she changes her appearance at all, or is she still going to be?
No. She'll be our Dommy Mommy, just good guys.
Yeah. Now, whether Judgment Day will still be a thing by the time she gets back.
Or if they're, maybe they turn all of them by the time she gets back, maybe they all turn.
I mean, good luck getting people to find something to cheer about Damian Priest for. I don't foresee.
It ain't working for you?
It ain't working for me.
How long does he hold the title?
Clash of the Castle.
Yeah, something short.
Put it on Drew.
I mean, so he's got what, 5 to 6 weeks left on his contract? They now said.
Did they officially say?
That is the stuff that they just fired their contract guy, Dan Vassal or whatever his name is, and I'm guessing they fired his ass because of what we're seeing now between him, Becky Lynch, Seth Rollins. I think there's like 5 people that have contracts coming up in the next three months that are your top stars.
You got to think that they're talking. All these people know the people in AEW. Becky Lynch knows exactly what Mercedes Moné is making because she probably told her.
Yep.
And so we are getting to a kind of exciting place where there's a billionaire on one side who is willing to shell out probably millions of dollars, and you can do whatever the fuck you want. You can show up whenever the fuck you want. And this other company who
has the numbers of views that is going to give you the celebrity and viewing that the other one won't, but they're not going to give you the money.
Right. Because I think WWE has now become the NFL. In the NFL, they always say there's nobody bigger than the Shield. There's nobody bigger than the 3 names of WWE. It doesn't matter who. You can be Roman Reigns. If you want to go. Because we got another dude down in NXT in Florida who we can build up and we can take your spot, blah, blah, blah.
But you also, the WWE also offers you that Hollywood access because, A, they are owned by William Morris. I mean, they call it Endeavor, but that's still the William Morris agent. Which
sure, it offers you that Hollywood access, but at the same time, whether you are going to be...
Oh, no, not everybody's going to be out there being The Rock, making $20 million a movie.
Right. But Mercedes is in AEW, and she's in a Star Wars show.
In a Star Wars show.
We've seen MJF is like going to be the voice of an animated character in a show coming up. So like there are just more opportunities for wrestlers in general.
I think you have a better chance of getting that hook up in one over the other.
Sure.
Oh, sure. Yeah. But at this point, Becky Lynch wants to be a Hollywood star, does she still need WWE?
No, but I think she has friends that could hook her up. You have a board member that makes $20 million a movie.
That's true. There's a lot of people in Hollywood, though. A lot of different people. Rock ain't the only one.
Yeah. The Rock ain't got the best reputation in Hollywood right now.
He doesn't, but he has connections that I don't think Tony has.
Yeah.
And it has to depend, and it will depend on what the bag is, too.
I mean, yeah, you're not going to make that kind of money on each movie, but I'm willing to bet you get the Miz money for Marine 27, or, you know, the Miz and Maurice money, or the Montez and Bianca money for the various.
I'd watch a show about Seth and Becky. I am going to watch Montez and Bianca or The Miz and Maurice, but I'd watch Seth and Becky.
But we've said, this was our whole thing with AEW. This was when me and Corey were just doing the podcast. If you're Tony, you don't want to have all these crazy ass situations happening with CM Punk, because a big thing that's going to draw people from the other company is the locker room's great over here. The work schedule's easy. And if you start getting all this kind of shit where it's like, oh, Punk's dead. That's the reason why Punk is gone. And that's the reason why some of these roster cuts have happened. TK is about to go big fish, big game hunting here.
But here's the thing. It's a bad look when you have to cut people due to budgetary reasons. And then you drop big money on a song for somebody to come out to.
In this climate, and he said the right thing. Where he's basically like, in his mind, though, I think he's like, I don't give a fuck. Because it doesn't fucking matter. Because I'm trying to get Becky Lynch. I'm trying to get Seth Rollins. I'm trying to get Drew McIntyre. I'm not saying that they're going to be more, they won't probably be more successful in AEW, and it might not move the ratings, but this is a part of whatever the hell you want to call this between AEW and WWE that we have not seen yet, which is a mass exodus of people chasing the bag to go to the other company.
Now, have they, it's been several months here. Have we gotten that TV deal yet?
I haven't seen shit.
I haven't seen anything about it, no.
Because the only thing, the schedule is great. The money is great. They were an alternative to Vince McMahon, WWE, but they are not an alternative to the current product of WWE at this stage. They've stumbled on that. They've started pulling in WWE production at this stage, and they're not good at it.
I mean, yeah, but they're still a utility in, like, on Wednesday nights, the only thing that beats AEW are NBA games. And the NBA doesn't beat them by that much. And there's nobody out there saying that the NBA is on its death keels. So, like, just I think part of AEW's, the way they're talked about now, is that they were hyper successful the first 5 years when probably they shouldn't have been. And
should have been more of a slow build.
It should have been more of a slow build. Yeah. But WWE was so bad. Vince was so bad. There were so many people that were going about. So I think it's fine that the ratings. Yeah, like,
there's always going to be ebbs and flows, too.
There's ebbs and flows, but like, no one's talking about the fact that Monday Night Raw from 4 years ago, the ratings are down. It's like the reason the SmackDown ratings are up is because they're on broadcast. And there's 75-year-old people who watch watch the news and then don't turn the TV off.
But by that same token, CW's on broadcast, which means that NXT is about to be on broadcast.
Yeah, and that'll be better for them too. And they're going to go to Netflix, and then these ratings are just, the ratings aren't going to matter because Netflix ain't going to tell you.
I think they
don't tell
WWE
anybody.
WWE will still have to tell you because they are a publicly traded company.
I don't think, maybe that might be a caveat that might be different. But I don't know if they, I don't know.
Because Netflix is publicly traded too.
I don't know if Netflix, and that's their big thing is they don't disclose.
But I think the trick here would be WWE would have to tell you based on what they're pulling in per a PLE.
Yeah. And Netflix will just be like, we're happy with our WWE product. All that being said, AEW is not at risk of going off of TV.
No.
They're going to sign a brand new deal with Warner Brothers.
It just may not be as lucrative as they want it to be.
Maybe not, but it'll still be pretty massive. It'll be an upgrade from what they've had.
They need to get something done, but they need to redefine themselves again, too.
Let's keep it moving. We've still got a couple of things to talk about here. New tag titles. Did you see that today somebody photoshopped the Ferrero Rocher logo?
Nah. I love and hate these titles. I like that they went back to gold, but I hate the big WWE logo right in the middle of it. I miss the old NXT UK title ones where, you had these two lions ramp at each other with like a global champion kind of thing. And the WWE logo was a little bit smaller up on the top, but I get it. You're not marketing your champions. You're marketing your company.
We at least got some fun out of R-Truth in that segment.
That was a little weak. So
it's still R-Truth.
But it's still hilarious that he's calling, you're not fooling me, Tommaso Ciampa. Calling Triple H Tommaso Ciampa, and then he's like, there's Triple H as Tommaso Ciampa comes out for the match. But my question is, what, these are now no longer the Raw SmackDown, the Raw Tag Team Champions. These are the World Tag Team Champions. So what are we going to call these SmackDown titles? What do you think they're going to make those? Because you can't have two World Tag Team Champions.
Well, they'll be WWE Tag Team Champions in the same way that the Women's is the Women's World Championship and the WWE Women's Championship, right?
You think so?
That's the difference between those two titles, right? I think one is the World's Women's Title, Women's World Champion, and the WWE Women's Champion, I think is the two. Because they don't have a universe. The women apparently are not part of the universe. They don't get a universal championship. They haven't. Their quality is not there yet for them. They don't get to go.
Didn't they drop the universal off of Cody though?
It's still a universal championship, is it not?
I thought they were dropping the universal. I forget what they called it last time. They should. They dropped something.
They should.
I thought he was just a WWE world champion or something like that.
They should.
No, the world champion is Drew.
Yeah, see, the fact that we even have to question, that's a problem.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
100%.
Yeah.
We got we got a triple threat match here.
Another triple threat.
Yep. That's what I'm saying. You got DIY, the Creed Brothers and New Day. And you, you're going to see the Creed Brothers act up when you see this. I mean, you got them both suplexing two guys at the same time, pinning them, pinning two different teams completely by them. Brutus is pinning both the DIY at the same time. Julius is pinning both the New Day at the same time. These dudes, if they are able to get somebody to help them develop a personality out there, they've got the talent. They do.
We talked about that last week. And I think we need a new theme song and new gear.
Oh, I think we're about to get it too, though.
Think so?
Oh, I think so. I saw a tweet today from Julius that we'll get to when we get to talking the next thing.
Oh, that's what I was going to ask. Because I didn't get to watch Monday Night Raw. Are they still wrestling in gray singlets?
Yes. It's gray bottom, blue and white thing up top.
Yeah. We're not doing these guys any favors. Gray is not a wrestling color. Okay. That should not, it's not on the palette. We don't need to make gray trunks.
I think it's about to change.
Well, let's see.
So you wanted to talk about that?
I wouldn't anticipate them getting a good new theme song because the fucking music in WWE sucks ass. Braun Breaker is the worst entrance theme of all time.
It has a very 1980s Metallica feel on it.
It feels like it's AI.
You talking about Braun Breaker?
Yeah.
Yeah. It feels like the new thing is made with AI. There's nothing. That was part of the reason we talked about. Remember when we talked about the Royal Rumble? We were like, no, we don't know who these people are because all the songs sound the same. Yep. You either get EDM or you get power chords. It's about the only thing you get.
You got Metallica power chords.
Yeah. And Braun Breaker has all the talent in the world. He comes off as just like mini Brock Lesnar.
I mean, they're no TK getting... Search and Destroy.
Yeah. Or
Metallica.
Or Give Me Back My Bullets. This is the Skinner thing.
Yeah.
Did Briscoe used to use that or something?
Yeah, the Briscoe brothers. Yeah, okay. They used to use that. Give Me Back My Bullets. Gotcha. But yeah, the Braun Breaker theme song and the theme songs in general for all the new things are awful.
I miss the days of, what was it, CF Dollar Sign?
Well, yeah. If you'll remember, part of the reason why Shinsuke got over when he first came to WWE was the song.
Oh, this song's fucking badass.
Yeah.
Oh, well, heck, half of why Bobby Roode got over was glorious.
It does. Shinsuke leans a little too hard into the dark side theme, Vader's theme. It's almost the same melody, but it's still badass once everything kicks in.
Yeah, I get saved by that.
Enzo and Big Cass. Song slapped. That dude was churning out, or that team. I don't know if it was a dude or a team at this stage.
I think it was two dudes.
Here's the thing. How much are they paying for Colt's personality? And why don't they just pay for other people's music too then?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, Rhea comes out to Motionless and White.
Yeah, but that ain't the same money that
But you've got all the, Cody's coming out to whoever did his, I forget who did his.
So whoever you did his should say that they're probably not getting paid that much.
No, I just don't remember the names. I'm horrible.
I think Cody paid for his though specifically.
But have Cody people, I mean, Randy Orton back when the fire still burns. I mean, they at one point when they weren't doing the music internally, they were paying up and coming bands to make some kick-ass theme songs.
Which I think Cody and Randy Orton is the same band.
Oh, really?
I think so. Downstate? Downstraight. I think that's the same.
Wouldn't shock me.
I think they were like the WWE thing there for a little bit, like the band.
You got Motorhead that did Triple H. So at one point they were putting some money into some bands. Yeah. Then they went internal. And they had two good people that did it back to back. But now the group that they're doing right now I ain't wanting nobody to lose their job, but I don't think he needs to be doing his job.
Yeah, it's just generic. It's like, hey, ChatGPT, we have a guy named Braun Breaker. Give me an entrance song.
Fuck it, Braun Breaker. He doesn't even get music. He doesn't get lyrics. It is like a remix of, I want to say it was a Whiplash. But I have to go back and give it another listen.
So ChatGPT, give us a Whiplash ripoff.
Yeah.
So lastly, we have Sammy and Chad Gable. Sammy promised him he'd give him a shot at the title.
They put on a match.
And they put on a match.
And then Sammy hugs his wife. and Gable hugs Sammy with a suplex.
Seeing the clip, it reminded me, and this was it just because it's a TikTok internet thing. I don't know if you guys have seen like the Russian basketball league, but like the Russian basketball league. So you can, it's regular basketball and like a, like mats, except one of the rules is if you take your shirt off, you can German suplex a member of the team. And it, like, if you will look at it on TikTok, it's just like dude's up trying to shoot, and then the other dude rips his shirt off. German suplex. And it happened. That's what it reminded me of when I saw the Chad Gable German suplex and Sammy. I was like, this is a fucking Russian basketball highlights I was looking at.
I thought Sammy fucked Gable's neck up at one point for real. You didn't see it. So there was one of those suplexes where I was like,
ooh. Yeah, he landed a little rough, but he seems okay. I think they're going to give him kind of like that Kurt Angle kind of bad guy run for a little bit. And this is why I'm excited. And I think this is going to help the Creeds. Julius tweeted, ready, willing, and. And if you remember, Gable was, it, when he was the All-American.
He was training with them before the match in the one of the in-show interviews.
Cut to Kurt Angle and Charlie Haas and Shelton Benjamin back in the old days. Oh, man, you put me a Chad Gable with the Creed brothers on either side, and I think you have them getting a personality as well as making him a dangerous faction.
I might be here for that. Because I was like, what's Otis going to do?
I got full-on the Rock over here.
I was like, what's Otis going to do? But I think I might be here for that.
Yeah, because, I mean, the Alpha Academy thing is fine, but...
It's comedy.
It's comedy, and it's also probably run its course. I mean, it happens. Comedy gimmicks don't last forever unless you're R-Truth, so, which is what makes R-Truth special.
I think they lose the belt. I think Miz and R-Truth lose the belt to DIY. You then have Gable and the Creed brothers that they solidify, and that gives you, you get DIY and the Creed brothers doing some hot ass tag matches like they did back in the NXT days, and you are making that tag scene so freaking fun.
And I think Gable's got to take the title off Sammy at some point.
I think he does. And then you got Sheamus back too, so you've got already somebody where if you don't sign Drew, you've got somebody to at least put on a potential to take it off of Damian Priest there and
what's the likelihood that Drew walks?
When is Clash at the Castle?
After his contract ends. Ooh. It's June 15th, which, because I was really excited about a lot of stuff. And again, it's not the wrestling that gets me excited a lot on WWE. It's all the drama, the storytelling, the fun shit. And we got more Captain Howdy, Uncle Howdy stuff.
Yeah, there was a barcode.
Where if you go to it, it sends you to a website. That website, you have to put two images together. That sends you to a different website that has all that, all the old school Bray Wyatt stuff where you've got the Socrates theory of the cave on there, a video that's telling you that you need to trust them. They're coming. You didn't want us. You got Matt Hardy suddenly retweeting this.
I was about to say there was Matt Hardy's involvement today.
And, you know, I don't think Matt Hardy needs to wrestle. I think his time has come. Let the man just do what he wants. But the man does some spooky shit fun. I mean, the leader of Worlds group with him and with Bray was one of my fun times back then. But you're getting all these little tidbits that, and I get it. I'm willing to put the effort into searching all this stuff on the internet. Because it's fun as opposed to finding out who the hell this random dude that, you know, from Mexico or Japan that's wrestling in AEW. But it's more entertaining to me doing that because it's building a mystery that I'm diving into a rabbit hole that is more entertaining to me.
I saw a tweet today that said what AEW needs to do when they've got Danielson versus, you know, one of his random opponents lately is just throw a QR code up real quick and let the nerds figure it out on their own. It said they obviously love going down rabbit holes, finding out shit.
You give me an AR game and make it entertaining, I'd be more interested in that. But the website, that second website that you sent, it was this weird URL that if you flip the letters around says June 15th AD, which is Clash of the Castle.
Oh, I didn't see that part.
Yeah. So I'm excited.
It'd be probably Uncle Howdy, Alexa Bliss, probably Bray Wyatt in some way. Matt Hardy.
Braun Strowman's coming back.
he'll be back from injury at some point. And then Eric Rowan has said
he's no longer able to take independent dates.
Yeah. So they're building a family there, I guess. Right?
Now, worst case scenario, it's the Final Testament.
Which is what I was about to bring up, is that there's already a emo metal band that can't get over that they had to send down to Florida.
But there's a difference. There's a difference.
We'll see. And I know it was cut off by unfortunate circumstances with Bray's passing. But like we've already seen the Uncle Howdy stuff, and no one was a fan of it.
Yeah, the only way I don't know the mask and the costume is weird. I was gonna say the only way they could make it work was if they maybe put Bo in something different. It doesn't have to be Uncle Howdy.
I think he might change up some too. And, Bo has, I think what's going to help the Uncle Howdy now is while we all had hints that it was Bo behind the mask, we know it's Bo behind the mask now.
Yeah.
And he has a built-in, we all want to believe. There was a part of it, no matter how cheesy that shit was, we were believers, because he has a charisma to him that unfortunately Karrion Kross doesn't. Karrion Kross has a bigger physique,
right?
But he doesn't have the he doesn't have the charisma that Bo did.
But part of the reason why Bo was having the charisma is that he got to be kind of an outlandish, over the top kind of character, and now he's going to have to be
outlandish,
subdued,
over the top,
subdued, quiet, spooky.
I think he still is able to do it, and I think that they will give it. I mean, it's not going to be what could have been. That ship has sailed, unfortunately. Right.
I just think that when we're doing this podcast in December of this year, there might be a point where we all go, damn, you remember when them QR codes were fun and then they just shit the bed with everything?
I mean, we did the same. I mean,
we literally just did that.
We did. We did, because the Mountain Dew match, I mean, that's what led was the...
Yeah, that killed LA Knight's career.
It did not kill LA Knight's career.
It could have.
But it didn't. But it didn't.
It could have, him going and off the only reason, thing and now, landing on the pillows.
Now, see, that one, we remember that in the negative because there was nothing to follow that. Had that continued, it might have meant something more. But that was unfortunately
somebody along the way was not helping Bray in the matches and the stories. The best part about Bray's return to me were the promos he was cutting when he was just being Bray Wyatt, aka Wyndham Rotunda, when he came back. Like, he was emotional and he was real. And to me, those were the most special moments of his return. Like, his matches were nothing special when he came back.
No, the matches has always been one of the weaker points of what he presented. And I will never not argue that. I mean, the dude had the ability to move like a, but was, how did JR say? He's a Sherman tank with a Ferrari engine.
Yeah. But the good stuff about the Bray return was all the QR code stuff they're doing now.
Mm-hmm.
Just like last time they did it. The problem is you have to deliver on something.
Yeah. I think I'm hoping there's a difference between when they delivered last time and when they're trying to deliver now. And it's the same reason why the product is now better than it was last time, because of who was in charge during that last run.
We'll see. I mean,
fingers crossed.
Yeah. I'm not figuring out for myself, so I'll just let all the nerds figure it out, and then I'll see the QR. I'll see the stuff.
I don't have the same goosebumps for that as I do when I'm thinking about, Chad Gable and the Creed brothers.
Yeah, that's way cooler to me than fucking...
I hadn't even thought about it, but they basically set the table for that.
They really did.
Yesterday.
And I think the Creeds would really thrive as a heel group, because they have the ability to whip your ass. They have the ability to toss your ass around.
Yeah, just drop people on their head. That's an easy way to just look like a badass. You just pick people up and suplex them around their neck.
It doesn't work for everybody.
Well,
Ridge Holland.
Yeah, it didn't work well. You don't actually want to break their neck. That's part of this thing of wrestling.
Y'all got any final thoughts before we close it out?
Sean Spears is dead on arrival, but that's a different story.
I do, the last thing I wanted to bring up, because now that you mentioned, I did want to bring this up about Sean Spears. I did get a huge kick out of all the wrestlers in WWE who really haven't accomplished anything, taking the opportunity to take shots at AEW for the All-In footage on Wednesday night, Sean Spears being one of them. And it's just like, somebody commented to him and was like, dude, you're 41 and in NXT. Of course, he muted that guy and blocked him.
But hold on. That's not going to be the same burn as it will be in a little bit, I don't think. Because we've got the draft coming up next week. And from what they're saying, it's not just Raw and SmackDown drafting from NXT. You're now going to have NXT drafting from Raw and SmackDown.
They should send Shinsuke back to NXT.
I wouldn't hate that. I think, and that's to me, I have always thought NXT would thrive better with some of your bigger stars down there helping to guide those NILs and your new signees and your returns and your indies. So to me, this is a throwback to that NXT black and gold that I loved when you had the Sami Zayns, you had the Kevin Owens, you had the Samoa Joes that were coming in there.
When I first started watching wrestling a little over 5 years ago, everybody was telling me to watch NXT instead of
the best damn show they put on for the longest time.
And they were like, go back and watch these matches and that match. And and at the time it was Aleister Black, Ricochet.
Yep.
Those folks were on and I did watch a handful of NXT shows.
Before. Go back and watch it. The black and that is the potential for what WWE now has, because that was Triple H's baby, and the stuff that they were putting on down there. Oh, it was.
I don't think they'll be able to wrestle that style though, unless they do away with the house shows.
Probably,
because it's just too much to do. Like that kind of stuff. I mean, Sammy's not doing the DDT through the ropes on the outside like he was doing, because that's a hell of a bump to take.
Well, see, that's when they're talking the grind, that's what they're talking, man.
Yeah, and that's why a lot of WWE matches are just like, okay, that's done, whatever. It's fine.
I get it. Yeah, I would like to have my cake and eat it too. I would love to have the AEW matches with the WWE dramatic performances. Yeah. If I could get a WAE or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. If we could just get, and I'm not so sure that in the future TKO might not axe the house shows. That's something that, I mean, that house shows have had a history in wrestling. That is basically the history of wrestling is
it's going to be hard for them to access. I mean, I guess not the house shows. The house shows aren't drawing those 15,000 people.
That's what I'm saying. TKO might be like.
You're doing 7,000-8,000 in Huntsville. Because that's all they do in Huntsville is the house shows.
Yeah. So is it worth it for your talent to have those days off, cut down on the risk of injury? If every PLE you could do was in a football stadium as opposed to a basketball arena most of the time, I don't know. That's just something that I'm sure if somebody on the TKO board is
looking at. I would.
And then if that happens, I do think you see the in-ring style of WWE change drastically. Because at that point, it will be like, okay, well, fuck it. You're here one night. We got you're either Raw or SmackDown. We're going fucking balls to the wall. So do whatever you want to do.
Yeah. All right. I guess that wraps us up for the week. Be sure to follow us on Instagram and Threads at Alabama Slam Pod. And we're still on Twitter for a little while. And be sure to follow our network of fellow podcasters at The Alabama Take on all social medias. And you can go to thealabamatake.com. We've got bunch of podcasts that post throughout the week, and you'll find another one probably that you enjoy. And if you do like the show, tell your friends about us and share us and all that stuff, and let's keep it going moving forward. And we will talk to y'all next week with our AEW Dynasty recap. Thanks.